Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. It's that time, and we are going to do Con Artist Women of History. I feel like doing a theme right now is important, whether or not it's women's history. Truly does not matter that much to me. So I'm just going through the whole list of women who existed. So I am going to start with a list that I have found. And let's get to it. I did have some good music playing, but I wasn't sure if it was something everyone would want to hear. So we'll get to it, won't we? Yes, Miss, now it's time to do our show. And the women of history. So I found a list of con artist women. And they keep bringing up people as of late, but I wanted to really go further, because, come on, it's history. And think when I made my... Oh, no, I put history on there. Awesome. Okay, cool. Hey, hey, I was actually still within... a stable mental state last night when I created this episode. So right now I got 5 greatest female con artists of all time. Big Bertha Heyman, known as the Confidence Queen. In the late 19th century, Bertha Heyman was a Prussian migrant who specialized in scamming wealthy men. She'd pretend to be a rich European widow, unable to access her fortune. Her victims delighted in rescuing her, keen to get their hands on both Bertha and her missing money. I always trick of the book, I suppose. Like many of the swindlers of her time, Bertha believed in only scamming those who should know better. "The moment I discover a man's a fool, I let him drop," she admitted. "But I delight in getting into the confidence and pockets of men who think they can't be skinned. It's ministers to my intellectual pride." I love it. Barbara Aaron. Oh, that ended so quickly. Barbara Ernie, more a thief than a con artist. Ernie deserves her place in this list for the brilliance of her scheme. Throughout the 18th century, Ernie would travel Liechtenstein dressed as a woman of wealth and privilege. Everywhere she visited, she would bring a large arriving in, she would insist that it be stored in the most secure room in the building. Later that night, an accomplice would climb out of the trunk and steal everything of value from the room before climbing back into the luggage. Eventually caught in 1784, she was sentenced to death for her crimes and was the last person ever executed in Liechtenstein. Now that's what I'm talking about. That is hilarious. That was a good one. Elizabeth Bigley, more famously known as Cassie Chadwick. Bigley was a Canadian woman who claimed to be the illegitimate daughter of Andrew Carnegie, the billionaire industrialist. After working as a fake psychic, great, and a forger for many years, in 1897 she established herself as Carnegie's heir. Really? She got some guy to leave her all his money. Rather than asking for money, she claimed the billionaire had showered her with riches in an effort to keep her quiet. The story got out, and the bank soon came to her, offering her loans, It is estimated she took the financial institutions for 10 to 20 million before dying in prison in 1906. Wow. Can you imagine prisons in 1906, what those were like? Oh my God. I can only imagine. Let's continue on, shall we? The Fox sisters. While they performed their greatest scam as just children, and while they made very little money, the Fox sisters are responsible for igniting the 19th century spiritualist movement, a breeding ground for con artists to this day. There are a ton of terrorists and stuff. I don't know how I started doing it. It just kind of happened. We'll get to that story one day because it's very weird and interesting. But yeah, I can read palms and stuff. It's weird. It's like weird details that they did not, or you would not know if you didn't like sit down and talk with them. My tarot readings are very accurate. I try to be as honest as possible, and I don't like foreseeing a thought on an issue. I like getting down to what the truth is rather than trying to make it be something, because you don't want to give someone bad advice. So anyhow, I guess they were spiritualists, which is true. It is a breeding ground for con artists to this day. Without Leah, Maggie, and Katie, we'd probably have no John Edward, no, who's Eric Geller, and no James Van Praagh. I've never heard of these people. John Edward, yeah, and I don't know about that guy. I've been told I was seen talking to the dead, and I was playing pool when I was doing it, and I asked them if they were sure it was me, and they said yes, it was, but I have had a few encounters where they spoke through me, but it's not something that I can control or want to do, and it's a fucking scary experience. And I don't even know how I could come up and fake that. It's weird. But I don't know about doing it on TV and all that stuff. Like, I do charge money. Like, I used to hustle tarot, and I'd be scary accurate, and I'd sit in bars and do tarot, and I'd make, you know, money. And then if I charge too many times, then something bad would happen. Like a card would go missing from my deck, or the whole deck, or my backpack got stolen with a deck, several decks actually in them, because I was hitting several bars. My cell phone, I get fished if I use my gifts for material gain. If I keep getting so many callers and I need more time on the air, I'll probably get a donate button, but it's only going to be for like a dollar. And it's only going to be if they feel like they want to, because I don't want to charge for readings. But I pay for my own station, which is something I decided to do. And it's working out pretty well. I mean, this morning, as of today, we've been up for 34 days, and I already have 143 listens. So we're on to something, obviously. And but I'll probably have a donation button, and it would probably just go for more a bigger time amount from the station, because I want to do the $249 a month, because it would give me 3 hours to work and more content, lots more creativity to work with. So that's my goal. But I don't want to trick anyone into paying money or anything. I believe in helping rather than hurting. Anyway, moving on. The girls claimed they could talk to the ghost of a previous tenant of their house. Visitors would hear a rapping sound each time the girls spoke to him. The girls were celebrities for most of their lives until 1888. All eights. Interesting. Maggie admitted they were frauds in her memoir, The Death Blow to Spiritualism. She confessed that the sisters had clicked their shoes against the wooden floor to make the rapping sound. Oh, man. I would not fall for such a thing like that. And I don't do that crap. That's retarded. Yeah, that's ridiculous. I'm putting up videos of the weird activity we're having at my house. Like, I can't find my stuff unplugged. And yesterday, it's crazy. My new Apple, brand new Apple computer keeps crashing for some reason. And I barely used it. So, yeah, it's been strange. There's some weird activity going on. So, I mean, I don't know. I think it's hard to know what's real and fake these days, but wrapping your foot on the ground? Therese Humbert. Like Elizabeth Bigley, Therese Humbert also claimed to be heir to a great fortune. In her case, she claimed that the family fortune of imaginary American millionaire Robert Crawford was locked in a large safe. After saving Crawford's life, she had been given the safe in his will under the condition that it not be opened until her younger sister, Marie, was old enough to marry Crawford's nephew. That's weird, however, Crawford's two nephews. Going to be second nephew, or are you saying two nephews? Where are we going here? I apologize, guys. I still sound like crap. In 1879, Humbert took out a huge loan against the safe and used the money to furnish an extravagant lifestyle. But in 1901, her impatient creditors sued her and obtained a court order that the fabled safe be opened. Inside, a brick and a single English halfpenny. What? Okay, sorry if I petted you the wrong direction. Jeez. Wow. So, I don't know. I feel like that wasn't... here we go. Ladies who catfished ISIS. There it is. That's a good one. Last summer brought news that a trio of plucky entrepreneurial Chechen girls swindled 3,300 out of ISIS by using social media to pretend they needed money to travel to the Middle East and join the jihad. They roped ISIS out of $3,300 before they were caught by the Chechen authorities. Why would they even be in trouble? I'd be like, good job, guys. Would you like the key to the city? Would you like a job? Dwarf in the trunk. Oh, we've seen that one. Oh, yeah. They never finished the story on that. So, like, it worked for 4 years until she was beheaded in the front of a crowd of 1,000 gawkers. There we go. There's the finish to that one. Queen of cosmetics. I don't want to hear about this. Does anybody remember when cosmetics had lead in them? In the 1800s, Sarah Rachel Russell, a.k.a. Madam Rachel, made herself a fortune by exploiting the vanity of rich British women by selling them absolutely useless potions that she dubbed Magnetic Rock Dew Water. Magnetic Rock Dew Water. Easy marks, I guess. Okay. Let's hear about this. Armenian Beauty Wash, Circassian Golden Hair Wash, Royal Arabian Face Cream, and Honey of Mount Hymettus Soak. Some of her concoctions included, get this, dangerous and deadly substances such as lead, arsenic, and prussic acid. For years, she raked in the modern equivalent of $1 million yearly, mainly by selling women fake beauty treatments. You mean killing them? She killed those people, by the way. And isn't that funny how I mentioned lead before we got here? Yeah. Wow. The hipster grifter. Carrie Farrell gained brief fame in 2009. I guess we can sort of call that history. When the press christened her with hipster grifter. It's such a tongue twister this morning. For her tendency to befriend young, skinny, bearded males in Williamsburg and take them for every penny they had. Skinny, bearded males in Williamsburg. Did these guys also wear buns? The world needs to know. She was accused of faking cancer, of course, being a prostitute, and passing hundreds of thousands of dollars in bad checks. Her scheme finally caught up with her, and she spent jail time in Utah for allegedly passing over $16,000 in bad checks. I could never do this. How do you even do that and not think about the consequences? Mother and son murder duo. That's what I'm talking about. One of the most rarest criminal combos is that of a mother and son who kill people together. Wonder what else they did together. But that's exactly what Sante Kims and her son Kenny did. Sante was a lifelong con artist who grew up shoplifting and committing credit card fraud before she went pro and began fleecing people of millions and murdering anyone whose belongings she desired. Wow. Along with her son, she murdered Manhattan socialite Irene Dobin, wrapped her in trash bags and stuffed her in a duffel bag, and dropped the corpse in a New Jersey dumpster. She and her son were found guilty of a murder and a whopping 117 other criminal charges. Why would you dump it in a dumpster? That was so careless. You went through all that trouble. Miss Mail. The welfare queen. I guess this is where the... Where did that term come from? While campaigning in 1976, future President Ronald Reagan spoke of a Chicago welfare queen. She used 80 names, 30 addresses, 15 telephone numbers to collect food stamps, Social Security, veterans benefits for four non-existent deceased veteran husbands, as well as welfare. Her tax-free cash income alone has been running $150,000 a year. Not only was all of this true, the welfare queen in question, Linda Taylor, who also running multiple other scams, she operated in 14 states using at least 127 aliases. Oh my God. When finally caught for fraud, she shocked the media by appearing nonchalant and dressed in the highest fashion. Oh, man. The king's illegitimate daughter. Born a pop... My tongue's in the way today. All right, let's try that again. Born a poor orphan. See how they did that to me? How they wrote that like that? I see what you did here. In Stockholm, Helga de la Branche lied her way to fame and fortune by claiming to be the illegitimate daughter of Sweden's exiled king Gustav IV. A Swedish government leader, and she lived on a lavish monthly pension for years until finally being caught. That was too short, and I want to know more. I have a picture of this one. Big Bertha, the confidence queen. a psychological master from the 1800s who could allegedly bend anyone to her will, Bertha Heyman was described by a New York detective as one of the smartest confidence women in America. Even after being caught and arrested, she swindled people out of hundreds, even from jail. How did she do it? She acted as sort of a Robin Hood figure and apparently gave all of her illicitly acquired treasures to the poor. According to her, she only did it for the joy of the hustle. The moment I discovered a man's a fool. Oh, wow. They continued that. That would take from guys that she felt were fools, and it ministered her intellectual pride. Wow, they finished that one as well. She even did it from jail. Huh, all right, that's cool. Yeah, they didn't go into that part before. The phony CEO. In the 1980s, Brooklyn-born Dinah Wien Rice made millions by defrauding Fortune 500 companies for their merchandise by posing as the conduit of a national distribution program. This program consisted of Rice rigging corporations for free merch in order to set up a business relationship, then selling it for a pure profit behind their backs. Wow, the same worked for a decade until she was finally nabbed. Alleged expert at emotional manipulation. Queen of dating scammers. A British woman named Patricia Wooton earned untold thousands in unearned money by providing ready-made scripts for women to use on gullible men they'd meet through dating sites. One of these fake letters read like this. This is great. I'm a widow, lost my husband to 9/11 terror attacks in New York. He made it out of the collapsed building, but he later died because of heavy dust and smoke, and he was asthmatic. Wooton counseled her would-be female scammers. Wow. Let him do most of the talking, be sad and worried about taking care of bills for the rest of the month. When he asked what he can do to help, ask him for $2,000 to $3,000. She also counseled the women to stay calm and moody until you get his final word. Wow. That's interesting. Ooh, they have one for Australia. See, this is what I'm waiting for. Australia's greatest con woman. Jodie Harris was able to take her innocent looks and bubbly personality and use it to bleed trusting women of their life savings while she conned one policeman after the next into falling in love with her. She would often appear in public in lavish automobiles while dripping in jewelry. When she was finally caught, police found more than 100 pieces of fake ID, countless wigs, a diamond watch, a pearl necklace. Her victim count totaled to over 30, and she defrauded them of an estimated $175,000. That was a good one. What's this? Princess Caribou. That's interesting. In the early 1800s, a poor British homeless woman worked a scam where she suddenly showed up wearing exotic clothing and spouting gibberish. A male accomplice pretended he could decipher her babbling and told onlookers that she was actually Princess Caribou from a small island in the Indian Ocean. Pirates had captured her, but she bravely dove into the ocean and swam ashore. For months, she exploited the kindness and gullibility of the British by posing as Princess Caribou, becoming a media star, and once her ruse was discovered, she returned to poverty and died selling leeches. What? And that'll be it for that. So that was kind of interesting and fun. Now I have stuff. So I wanted to talk about, since it's Girl Power Hour, I wanted to talk about the things that we go through as women. My friends at work know, because we all have to deal with a certain kind of setting at work. And it's not even a Hooters or anything like that. But oh my God, I am so tired of being objectified by an old man who looks like a Santa Claus that just sat around and got fatter and grosser. He looks like he has a 20-pound fucking stone baby in his stomach. It's so disgusting. And he, like, sexually objectifies everyone. He made the new guy at my work tell me I look good in my clothes. Like, literally, I'm a chef. It's stupid. It makes me just want to, like, scream. So, I don't know if anyone else goes through this, but I'm sure most of you do, especially at work. But literally, they keep us really busy hating each other and not working together. If we just stopped being catty and all this bullshit and letting dudes get in our way, we'd probably be able to change the world and be whoever we want to be. Because I swear to fucking God, my whole life, some asshole has tried to come along and tell me how to fucking live my goddamn life. And then some bitch is standing right behind him, being all submissive and fucking yelling out the same bullshit right behind him. Take that brainwashed shit down the road. That's what I say. Don't tell me how to live my fucking life. Anyway, so I wanted to talk about something inspirational, because I know a lot of girls right now who are going through some things, and it gets hard, especially if, you have a loss and or something like breakup, or you have just been totally abused and taken down and have no self-esteem left, this would be good to hear. So sometimes we find ourselves in a spot that we think we can't get out of, but yeah, we do. We get out of it. But we just have to remember who we are. The empowered woman, she moves through the world with a sense of confidence and grace. Her once reckless spirit now tempered by wisdom. Quietly yet firmly, she speaks her truth without doubt or hesitation, and the life she leads is of her own creation. She now understands what it means to live and let live, how much to ask for herself and how much to give. She has a strong yet generous heart, and the inner beauty she emanates truly with her heart, like the mythical phoenix. She has risen from the ashes and soared to a new plane of existence, unfettered by the things that once posed such resistance. I totally believe this, and I can feel this as well. I'm here to tell you from personal experience, yeah. And eventually you'll get like me. You'll just not care anymore and just do you. The sooner the better, because the world is heading towards such a dark time. I don't know how much of it we can enjoy anymore. But if you've got a whiny-ass dude behind you, eventually he'll be just that, behind you. Then you'll walk away. So that being said, I hope this finds everyone in good spirits. And if it does not, I hope that it gets you in good spirits. I think that's good for today. I hope this recorded. We'll see. But the counter went up, and that's awesome. I can't believe we've only been on for 34 days. Yay! Girl Power Hour. I hope everyone has a great day. My day is full. Don't forget, if you want more girl stuff, which I haven't had any dudes besides Sean B join in on any tarot readings yet, but it seems to be working. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday will be a spiritual hour, and then I'll do tarot readings for everybody. They're essentially free, but eventually I'm going to put a button up for donation just so I can keep everything going since it's growing pretty quickly. So, yay! but let's see how it goes. I hope people enjoy this episode. If you've been paying attention, Mondays are Girl Power Hour. So that means stuff that has to do with women. Right now we're doing different types of women in different sectors of history because I think it's important and cool because we don't get much of that. There's always some fucking guy always taking over shit. I'm not being sexist. I'm just being real. Where's my representation in the world? Anyway, that's the tea. Bye, everyone.